I can tell you one thing. Technology is the single most important aspect of every business that has successfully scaled.
It's time for that Real Estate Tech Guy. It's your weekly chance to explore how technology can help your real estate business explode. Each week, you'll hear from real estate investors who have been there and done that and find out their favorite technology tips. Listen in as Jordan speaks with tech companies and learns about new technologies and new ideas that will help you scale your business. And now, join your host, Jordan Samuel Fleming, CEO of Smartphone, for this week's episode.
Welcome to this week's episode of That Real Estate Tech Guy. My co-pilot for this episode is Stephanie Betters from Les Mayne REI. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast. Why don't you give everybody a little introduction to yourself and why you're here?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Okay, quick intro. Oh my gosh. So I got my start in real estate, Charlotte, North Carolina. Better Path Homes is my real estate company. We'll do hopefully 400 or so deals this year. We're really close. We wholesale and we new build. And out of that company, another technology company was born called Les Mayne, primarily because we were struggling with tech. We were struggling with forecasting, with understanding where we were, with data management, the whole thing. So a little over 2.5 years ago, I started Les Mayne REI, which is a Salesforce-based CRM. It's been amazing. That's really where I spend a lot of my time now because that system allowed me to essentially retire from my real estate company. Now I'm sitting there in the owner's box and I get to look down and move the pieces and collaborate on a quarterly basis and on a financial basis. Obviously, we still have financial meetings and things that I attend, but it's been awesome. It's amazing what happens when you get some systems in place and you can understand your data. So I'm a huge fan of tech. I have a bone to pick with tech in the real estate space. So I'm super excited to be here.
I have a bone to pick with tech, but I also have a bone to pick with people not thinking enough about tech, right? Yeah. Not really treating it as almost an X, like everybody talks about it as though, yeah, like they talk CRM, they say CRM and they throw the word out. But really they don't really, a lot of people spend the time, the minimal time it takes to truly embed it into their working practice and reap the benefits.
Exactly. And
that's, I think, one of the real things that I want to tackle is, like, you know, particularly right now, as everybody seems to be talking about, you know, recession's coming and like everything's going to go up in the air, et cetera. Now is the time when actually technology is the thing that can really let you thrive in a very competitive and fluctuating market. What do you think about that?
Dead on. I think if you can understand the data and you can control it, because once you understand it, you just move pieces. Like, it's just moving dials, understanding where you currently are and where you can make tweaks. You own your market. It's really that simple.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, obviously we're here primarily, I would like to kind of focus in on the CRM element, the Les Mayne REI, because I think, you know, I as I said, everybody talks about CRM. Everybody, they throw the word, the letters out, and I don't think a lot of them really understand it. So, you know, you're obviously, you are an investor, you've built this, you're now taking this, you've been taking this CRM out to many people, you know, you've got lots of customers using it and you're scaling that business. Why, like, if you were going to give someone a 60-second pitch of not only why is CRM important, a good CRM important, but why Les Mayne REI is a really good option for them, what's your standard kind of approach for that?
Well, I mean, first of all, a CRM, what we're doing in the real estate space specifically, I mean, I can talk to this really with any industry, but specifically with real estate, the reason why you need a CRM is you need to have organization on the people that you want to reach out to, what, you know, AKA a prospect. And when those extremely valuable, expensive leads come into your system based on all the different marketing channels that you're doing, you need to make sure that you're staying in touch with them. And the idea really to scale your business and to build a business that you can potentially retire from or passively own is you have to have like predictable monetization of your leads. So basically you can't rely on your memory of when you want to follow up with somebody. There needs to be systems that support you as you're growing your business and as your team members are working. So you need to give them a place to work. There needs to be a cloud-based software that all of your team can plug into wherever they are in the world or in their office, and work collaboratively on the leads that come in, and have some automation there that supports you so that you remember when to follow up with them, that things happen in the background while you are dealing with the hottest prospects. So in general, CRM will help support you in those endeavors. Why LeftMain, I think, is the best CRM out there, primarily, you know, I built it, I use it, right? I've got to love it the most, is because it's unique in the sense that it's built on the Salesforce platform. Salesforce, I mean, indisputably is the number one CRM in the world across all industries. But what makes it special for us is we have the power of Salesforce, which allows us to have huge amounts of data in there without having capacity issues. It's extremely, extremely stable. It's a great platform to build on. And it allows us to kind of segment out other aspects, like the lanes in our business. So marketing, leads, sales, transactions, dispositions, all in one place, and integrates with essentially everything. So it's a very robust and seamless experience for the business. It can handle all aspects of it. So essentially you can eliminate a lot of other softwares and come with a completely, you know, robust system that can handle everything in one without you being in lots of different places. An example would be with you, with smartphone. The phone is directly embedded. It's now native to Salesforce. So you don't even have to go anywhere. You can click around, click to dial, keep all of that data in one place, interpret that data in one place. And that's huge. That was a huge pain point for me specifically, was I had data everywhere. I was paying VAs to like go scrape spreadsheets to like extract data, put it somewhere else so that I could like manipulate it. Then it'd be wrong. And then I couldn't get it to like the source, right? So long story short, this is the source. It's kind of been built to be a one-stop shop where like you can interpret everything in one place and make action in one place.
Now, let me ask you then, because I mean, I'm not a real estate investor. And the dirty little truth I have in my life is I'm no longer really active in many systems. You know, back in the day, I used to develop systems and I used to build systems. And so my hands were in all the time. Now, I don't really do that much anymore, which is a kind of a weird perspective now. But one thing I want to get your take on, particularly as it applies to your CRM and how you see people using it. I feel like every investor has a journey in their investment side. You know, they you know, and you see this a lot. You know, you see the people who have got that initial bug, but they're just getting off the ground. Let's be honest, they don't have a business yet. Yeah. And that's great. Everybody starts like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you've got the mature investor who's built up, built up a team and sort of has that, and maybe is sitting back and doing what you do with your real estate investment platform company, where you're much more kind of at the top end looking down. What do you think in terms of, for new people, you know, coming into the game maybe, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out, this whole tech stack out, what would you say around when is the right time to look at a system like yours, or you know, what stage should they need to be before they do it? Because I think it's confusing for some people. They see it, they hear it, but they're not sure when they need to take the plunge.
Yeah. And it's an interesting question. And it's sometimes a difficult one because it depends a little bit on that person and their goals and where they want to take the company. But and then even if they want to grow the company to the point where it's passive, it's very difficult to get the cart exactly behind the horse, right? Like at this point, this is when you do it. It's very difficult to draw that line in the sand. And I would say, first of all, don't try to. Right? Don't try to get the timing exactly right, because it's almost impossible. But in general, I think that when you start spending money on marketing is when you need to make sure that you're organized. That's really when you need to have some sort of CRM, because then it counts, right? Like you've invested something in it. You need to get an ROI. You can't afford, even if you're super small, even if you're doing a deal a month or a couple deals a year and you're spending money, you can't afford for those leads to not be completely like that orange should be squeezed completely, because you know, you've now bet money on it, right? So really, whenever you start marketing, I think it's super important to have some organization down If that means that you function off of a manila folder and a spreadsheet, fine, right? Like whatever works at the time is what you should do to try to stay organized. And my story is a lot about that too. I mean, I started first with iPhone reminders. I would like talk to Siri and tell her, remind me to do something on Friday. I had paper, I'd print stuff out and I'd write on a folder. Then I went to a spreadsheet and I tried to like, you know, track expenses in a spreadsheet and track leads in a spreadsheet. And then I got like too complicated. I had too many columns and then I got like lost in my own system, right? So I think like you do something that works, anything. Just do something that works and then start growing. And then you'll eventually see that you need more, right? And when you need more, when you've kind of graduated from like the pen and paper and you need a more like cloud-based system, which you're going to need if you have any other team members, right? Because I mean, we almost all of us start in our office, in our garage, and we just bang rocks around and we try to figure it out. Eventually, you're going to have at least one person, a VA maybe. You need to have an ability to share data with each other. And maybe that's Google Sheets for a while. And then that gets too complicated, right? So I don't think that you necessarily need to, you know, swallow the whole apple in one bite. You just need to take one little step towards organization at a time. And you'll cross over that barrier. You'll know when you're crossing it, when you start to become like worried that you're going to forget something or a little bit overwhelmed, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I need to. If you start thinking, I think I need to hire somebody. You needed to hire them 2 months ago, right? But once you start having those thoughts, then you know that you need more tools, you need more help, you need more support. And then you can look at, you know, a CRM system, if that's LeftMain, if that's anything else, I don't care. Just get organized and make progressive like steps in a direction, you know? And then just to back up for a quick second, that may not be what you want. Maybe you don't want a business. Maybe you just want to passively own. Maybe you just want to buy rentals. That's a beautiful thing too. You know, you may not need more than a Google spreadsheet, you know, to share with people. And that's okay too. It's really about your comfort level and how in control you feel about what your processes are that kind of leads that decision. Does that make sense?
Well, and I think I 100% agree with that. And my view has always been like people are obsessed with this notion of scaling.
Yeah.
And I get that. Like, I get that. I personally have always wanted to scale a business. I've never been someone who wanted, to have a business just for me working in it. But there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, right. I know tons of people who have amazing lives, making really good money, doing the things they want to do, in control of their own destiny, and stop thinking that you're not successful. If you're right. doing that, wicked, you know, like, you keep, that's great. But if you do want to scale, if you're somebody who does want to scale something, maybe to sell it or to step back and let it run while you're doing, you know, whatever you do, then technology, see, that's when I think it becomes a complete non-negotiable and a critical foundation, because you cannot scale a business without technology that lets you do it. You simply cannot. And I want to pick up on one thing you said that was, I think is really important, is this notion of, you know, you say, tell Siri to remind me on Friday, et cetera. Yeah. Well, it's funny, when I used to build workflow systems for property management, and I used to talk about the difference between active and passive processes, right? A passive process is one that you have to reach in and find out what to do.
Right.
An active one is when the system is reaching out to you and being like, knock, 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 you need to do this. Right. And that's another kind of area where if you're constantly stressed thinking, like I used to do the sleep thing. If you're losing sleep because you're worried about what you have to do tomorrow, that you were, you know, that's when you need to take it out of your head,
right,
and get it into a system, in my view.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it starts from discomfort. You know, if you're uncomfortable, I think you either push the rock up the hill yourself or you have technology push up the rock. You know, either way, you still get the rock at the top of the hill, but it's a matter of like, what are you comfortable doing? Does it stress you out? You know, are you working a W-2 job and then trying to build something else? Or is this your full-time gig and you're totally cool with your own phone ringing with your tenants or your phone ringing with a lead? Like, it's a matter of your comfort level and what you want to build. My brother and I both ended up in real estate, which is so funny. So we talk about this. My brother self-manages a little over 50 units. I think he maybe up to 60 or something. Self-manages, doesn't use any technology. He has no employees. He self-manages. Everyone has his personal cell phone number. So like a tenant calls him. And for me, I'd be like, no, I don't want to hear your toilet emergency. Like, I can't come over. No, I've got my kids. I've got, you know, that to me, I'm like, I am not okay with that. Right. But he looks at me and is like, you're giving up your profit to your team members. Like, why don't you keep it and just like keep it all? And I'm like, well, I don't care. I'd rather like do only what I want to do, that finite amount when I want to do it, and then get the rest. Like, I don't care that I have to give up some of it. So we both look at the same issue and he like doesn't understand why I choose this. And I'm like, why would you choose that? Why would you give yourself one out to a tenant? That's like the worst thing you can do. He'll go out and like collect rent too for some of them. Like some of them pay cash. I'm like, no way, you know, but super happy, super successful, super comfortable. Great.
That's his gig, man. Like yeah. there's no right or wrong way if you're doing it right.
Super proud of him. Like it's so amazing. You know, it's kind of cool that we do it different.
That's an interesting, I can't think of anything worse.
Than I know. A
bunch of tenants calling me about like, oh, the cooker isn't working.
Yeah.
It's like, that to me is my view, my version of absolute hell. It's like, go call someone else, please. Like, you know, so that, let me ask then, you know, LeftMain REI, obviously built on Salesforce, there's the power of Salesforce behind it, which, as you rightly pointed out, the number one CRM in the world. I mean, that it's the biggest platform out there. It's got to be by quite a factor, I'd imagine. I can't think
trillion
of
trillion dollar company. Trillion yeah, dollars.
It's enormous. But there's also like, you know, take wholesaling, for example, because a lot of people who get into this sort of game concentrate on wholesaling because it's the easiest, you know, it's the least investment. You're not risking, you know, that much money on yourself, et cetera. There's a pretty defined process for wholesaling. You know, it's not rocket science, but with a system like yours, then you could start out just using a CRM like yours for lead management.
Oh yeah,
and bring on the marketing and disposition and transaction coordination stuff after as you scale up. Right, you don't have to, as you say, eat the apple in one bite. You can also kind of go, right, I'm going to use this to track all my leads, to track my marketing, to make sure no leads get left behind, to follow up with everybody. And then once it gets to the next stage, I'll deal with that manually.
100%. So that's kind of the way it was built with that in mind. And, you know, that's kind of my background. I'm very operational minded, algorithmic minded. And really, once you've crossed that threshold, you're like, okay, I need a system, right? It doesn't really matter what you're like, where you are at, how many team members, how many leads, whatever you have, you can then grow with this platform forever. You will never outgrow it. Like I can stand here and tell you, we have people with 2 employees or people with 200 employees using the same.
Citrix uses Salesforce.
Yeah. Citrix does.
Get to that size and we can talk about outgrowing it.
Right. Like literally you cannot outgrow it. Yeah. So, and I hope you do. I hope somebody proves me wrong. I would love to see it. That means that you're, you know, doing amazing. So, but yeah, I mean, from 2 employees to 200 plus employees, literally people using the same platform. And the reason for that is once you've crossed that threshold, you decide this is what you need. It's built to be kind of like a moving river, right? Like you start at the beginning, which is your marketing and your leads, and you start that process. And it's essentially built, like all the business systems are kind of pre-built out for you, right? So the best practices for lead management, the best practices for appointment setting and for sales management, transaction and dispo management, right? The best practices are essentially built in. You know, I'm familiar with best practices from my own company and from consulting with hundreds of other companies, from other consulting gigs that I've done and masterminds and whatever collaborations I've done with a lot of people. And for me, for some people, that'll be 200% of what you ever need. Other people, that'll be 70, 80% of what you need. But the idea is you come in and it's like a moving river. So you put your lead in. There's going to be systems that kind of nurture that lead already. There's all these cadences and drip sequences and reminders of when to do something, like you're saying. You can put in active reminders and you can put in passive reminders. The system will ping you and tell you, this isn't, you know, you haven't touched this one in a day. You haven't touched this one in a week. What's going on with this one? Right. And then as your business grows and you need more, you'll kind of see like, oh, a door opens up to a room. Oh, now you need help with sales management. Here are all the steps around that. Here are a ton of dashboards and reports and things to think about as an operator so that you can now like reach into your business and think like, okay, why isn't this one converting? Or why am I not getting a return on this? Or how come my salespeople aren't closing? Or where can I improve? Why are my leads not qualified? Or, you know what I'm saying? It gives you some like breadcrumbs to follow That way you can start growing your business as big as you're willing to, or as wide as you want to go, you know?
Yeah. And you touched on the sort of metrics and KPI elements. I think, you know, one of the things, regardless of whether you're just starting out or you're pretty established and you've got a scaled team, if you're not reviewing what am I spending, what am I getting, and how am I doing with it, you know, that's a basic of every business, right? If I'm laying money out on leads, on advertising or whatever it is, banner sites, Facebook, SEO, if I'm buying lists, I still want to track and say, was this list a good list?
Right.
You know, is this type of lead a good lead for me? Am I getting the conversion? And having things go through a system where every part of your interaction is tracked means that you can see, these leads aren't, you know, I'm not doing as well with these types of leads. I'm doing much better with these. Maybe I should focus my spend there. Maybe I should focus a little less over there. How does, you know, like, how do those kind of reporting, KPIs, metrics, dashboards, at a simple level, how do those come through in your system?
Yeah, so they're broken down. We have different dashboards for essentially every department. So we have a marketing dashboard, a lead dashboard, an acquisition/sales dashboard, disposition dashboard. And we have something called the CFO dashboard, and then like an L10, which is kind of following that traction model. So there's like company level dashboard and then department level dashboard. So when you're looking at something like lead, for example, for your example, and you're trying to figure out, is this lead good or not? A lot of that comes down to, are they qualified? Right? Like, did this lead that was generated in my system, did they have a house to sell? Do they have any motivation to sell? Like, do they fit my buy box? And what are they in my area? Whatever, right? So that becomes really the first step. What percentage of your leads are qualified? In general, we want to shoot for 50% of your leads to be qualified. If you're at 50%, you're like gold standard. And it depends on your source a little bit on what we tolerate for percentage qualified. So for example, cold calling, when you're doing cold outreach, those percentages that are going to be qualified are a little lower. If you're doing PPC, direct mail, those will be a little higher because people are reaching out to you, right? So that's the number one metric. So where are you in that percentage right now, right? So just knowing where you're at in the world, like, that helps. What is standard? What is, like, am I good? Am I bad? And then if you're bad, then you look a little deeper in that dashboard. So, okay, why aren't my leads qualified? And the first instinct is to blame it on the marketing source. These leads suck. But no, it's generally not the marketing source. It's generally your operation. Now that we don't let the marketers off the hook completely, because we definitely keep them on the hook, but you want to hold yourself accountable first. So are you live answering your phone? What percentage of the time do you answer it live? How many attempts does it take to reach somebody? Like, how many does it take? You'd be surprised what that answer is, right? And like, reaching somebody means like you've had a physical conversation with this person, right? What percentage of your leads have you even talked to? And then how many times does it take to get them? I initially, before I moved over to Left Main and I was, you know, banging my own rocks around, I thought like 3 or 4 times would be about what it takes. 10 to 14 attempts.
Really?
So I was stopping too early, right? So I know that now. So when I have a lead that I'm not having a difficult time contacting, I'm not giving up after 3 or 4 attempts, because in my mind, I know I need to try 10, 15 times before this is not qualified, before this is out of my hands, is like, I did everything I could, right? So number one, it helps with you to kind of stratify which leads does it take less effort to contact, right? And then it also helps you keep like that psychology up of like, I just need to hit my numbers and then I know I'm going to get the result. So that does those two things to measure it that way. You know, so that's kind of an example of a dashboard that like drills it down for you automatically. It'll show you all those metrics, and then also show you, you know, which lead source was most likely to be unqualified and what the unqualified reasons were. So then you can give that feedback to your marketers. It'll also do some heat mapping with like zip codes and cities, what places are you getting the most deals in, and leads and qualified leads from, et cetera. So all that information, you can then kind of like interpret. That's all you have to do. You've measured it. Now you interpret it. And then now you take action. And it makes things a little less emotional and a little more like guided, you know, and the emotional roller coaster is a huge thing to overcome as an entrepreneur. Just knowing what to do next. What is the problem? You know?
And being, yeah. And I think taking emotions out means that you can't allow your decisions to be clouded by something you don't want to have to do, or, you know, you're going to run to the easy thing that's going to make you feel comfortable, as opposed to maybe looking at the thing that it really is, because you've actually got the metrics. And exactly. That's a key part.
And especially if it's not you anymore, you know, if it's not you answering the phone or you vetting the leads, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to help train a new employee or how to help guide a new employee, you need some sort of feedback system to understand where to coach them, you know, and how to measure if people are doing well or not.
I'm presuming when you talk about these sort of marketing sources and tracking and KPIs, that presumably means that whether it's lists or inbound PPC or even direct mail, you have ways of getting those leads directly into your system categorized.
Yeah.
So that it's not a question. You're not having to manually do anything.
Correct. Exactly. It all integrates with your existing lead sources. And if there's not a hard direct integration, we use Zapier to help just put everything in the system, automatically label it, put it into a cadence right away, and off you go. Notify all your team that something happened. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm going to get to the point of the show where we do the real estate tech guy fast five questions.
Okay.
If you can remember them, I'll read them out to you. Don't worry. These are questions I ask everybody the same ones, just to get a kind of a flavor of what everybody's different answers are. So number one, what feature of your system has the biggest impact on most of your customers' business, in your opinion?
Dashboards and reports.
Dashboards and reports, 100%.
Yep.
I love it. I like decisive answers, because it means that it's more likely to be one that you're absolutely confident on. What's the biggest mistake most people make within, you know, implementing a CRM like yours?
Not trying to do it all themselves, not leaning on a team member to help them, or our team to help supplement their own. Biggest mistake is like, okay, I'm going to learn this whole thing first, and then I'm going to teach it to my team. Involve your team from the get-go, have them come to training. Don't take it all on yourself. Use your team to help you.
It's funny. I recorded with an investor friend of mine in North Carolina yesterday. And when I asked him the investor side of this question, he identified not trying to do everything by myself as the biggest mistake you know, when he tried to do it. So that chimes very, very well with what you just said.
Yep.
So number three, what is your best advice that you could give someone new on you know, how to go about integrating a CRM into their business?
I think start with doing something. You don't have to eat that whole apple. You don't have to go to the gold standard right out of the gate. Just do something to help you start measuring and start getting organized. And then as you become uncomfortable or worried or stressed, right, about like what is happening, that is your trigger point. As soon as you feel that, you need to take action immediately. Because when you feel that, you're already late, right? Immediately take action.
Love it. Number four, what is the one thing you wish everyone knew about Left Main REI?
Oh, that's a good one. There's so many things. What's the one
thing? I got you. She's the one.
It is 100% accessible to you. It is not too big. It is not too much. It is 100% accessible, and it'll meet you wherever you're at in your business.
Whichever part of that journey, you can slide in there.
Yep.
100%. Now, finally, number five, and this is a toughie, because it's taken us out a little bit from Left Main REI solely, and saying, if someone's just starting out in real estate, right? Because you started out at some point in real estate. What three technology products would you recommend they bring on first, right? Because I think a lot, you know, if you think about the technological spectrum, you've got different lead acquisition tools, you've got lead management, CRMs, you've got phones, you've got mail, you've got texting, you've got all these things. Take it down to, you're just starting out, what would be your advice on the top three to start with?
Your phone. So have a smartphone, right? Like you need to have a phone that can give you reminders and you can talk to people for. Google Sheets. And what else? The third thing. That's really tricky, because really brass tacks is like you need a phone and you need a Google Sheet to start putting some stuff together. So I would then say like Google Suite. have a professional email address. Don't just use like Stephanie@gmail.com. Go to the Google Suite and get like a business email address.
It's funny. I interviewed John from InvestorFuse the other day, and he said the exact. He's like, I see a Gmail email, it drives me nuts. Are you a professional human being? Are you not?
Exactly.
And it's like, what's a domain cost? The domain costs like $9 a year. What are we talking about here? It's not. Yeah, absolutely. Well, those are fantastic. Love those answers. Love those answers. So now to close this out, I want to obviously make sure that people know how to find you. I'm going to pop everything into the website. You're going to have your own dedicated page on there. You're going to have all the information is going to be in the podcast notes, but just where can people find you? How can people get started?
Yeah. Okay. LeftMainREI.co is our website. Stephanie@LeftMainREI.com is my email. Instagram is @StephBetters if you want to follow me and see my silly family in life. But yeah, reach out. I'm happy to chat with anybody, regardless of where you're at. Even if we're not a current fit for you, if you just need to get your feet wet and launch, then I'm happy to collaborate and chat with you. And if you're ready for something more, then we can talk about that too.
Awesome. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure I'll be getting you back on the podcast very soon. I think, talking openly about tech for real estate investors is hugely important, particularly right now as we may be going through some kind of interesting bits in the economy. Never a better time to do it. Please do, if you're listening, like, subscribe on your different podcast platforms, give it a review. Essentially, we're trying to spread the gospel of real estate technology, and we need your help. Thank you so much, Stephanie. And I look forward to seeing you given we're recording this in August of 2022, I look forward to seeing you next month in Jamaica.
I'm so excited.
The TAB retreat. So anybody listening to this, there's still time. There will be still time when this comes out to buy your tickets. It's going to be a phenomenal event, and I hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to another amazing episode of That Real Estate Tech Guy. Head over to thatrealestatetechguy.com to check out all episodes and get special discounts on tons of awesome real estate technology platforms.